guys.
Yeah, everyone.
Everybody, come on up. So we're going to do something that we call a family meeting. We do this about once a year typically, so some of you have never been here for this before, so we'll see how this goes. What we like to do is just kind of talk about kind of where we are as a church, what God has been up to, and where we're headed, and to kind of give you an idea of what we're seeing right now as leaders of the church. So I want to start by talking about who we are as a church, and let me begin actually by throwing that question out to you guys. Who are we as a church? What are some words you would use to describe us as a church? If you're here for the first time, you don't have to answer.
No, actually answer.
Yes.
I was just thinking on the drive down here this morning, sorry, this is more than one word. Is that okay?
That's okay.
How grateful I am that we can come here to a non-judgment-free zone, no matter what we're going through. And that's what I mean.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Somebody else?
Family.
Yes, family. Good. See, that was one word. What else?
Caring.
All right, good. What else?
Driven.
Good.
Love.
Yes.
Giveness,
okay.
Love.
Love. Good.
Community.
Awesome.
Authentic.
Very good.
Should I take my toupee off?
Those of you who didn't hear Dan, he said, should I take my toupee off now? So those are some of the descriptions, and thank you so much for that. That's some of who we are as a church. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes, but before I do, I want to talk for a few minutes about some numbers and just throw some stats at you guys, and I'm going to go back to 2014. We started in November of 2013, and for the first 6 months of our church, we met once a month. And then on Easter Sunday of 2014, that's when we started meeting every single week. So 2014 is the first year that we have numbers like for the whole year, January through December. So I just wanted to show you some of where we've been and compare that with where we are right now. So in that year, 2014, our highest attendance was Easter Sunday. We had 43 people there. How many of you were here that first year? Let me just see a show of hands. You, I think you were, yeah. Okay, so just a few of us, right? So that was our highest attendance, 43 people on Easter Sunday. Our low attendance was Mother's Day. We had 8 people. And that was a day when I asked God a whole bunch of questions, like, okay, are we sure about this? Like, I'm working full-time at Phil Haven, plus I'm teaching a class at Messiah, and I'm spending a lot of time doing this. Is this, God, is this really what we're supposed to be doing? Did I hear correctly from you? And the answer, of course, was yes. Our average attendance that year was 25 people. That was our average per Sunday for the year of 2014. Now, we're going to jump ahead to 2019, and there's a specific reason for that. First of all, I don't want to give you numbers for every single year because we don't want to be here all morning, but also there's a specific reason I chose 2019, and I'll tell you that in just a moment. Our highest attendance in 2019 was 102, and that was our Christmas Eve service. And that was the first time in our church's history that we had 100 or more people here. So that's why I chose 2019. That's the first year we had more than 100 people in a church service. Our lowest attendance was, it was a tie for the last Sunday of July and the last Sunday of August. We had 35 people. Our average attendance that year was 57 people. When we jump to 2020, last year was a significant year for a whole bunch of reasons. So let me just throw some numbers at you from last year. Our highest attendance last year was Christmas Eve. We had 127 people that came to our Christmas Eve service. That was on a Thursday. So I thought, well, let me see what our high attendance was on a Sunday. It's actually a tie. August 2nd and August 9th, on both of those Sundays, we had 110 people. Our lowest attendance last year was 55 people, and that was on March 15th. Does anybody know the significance of March 15th?
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. So we had 55 people singing happy birthday to Tina. That's the week that the whole world like slammed on the brakes. So everything else had pretty much closed up. We were like, no, we're going to meet this Sunday. 55 people showed up. After that, we did videos for a little bit. Then we did drive-in service starting with Easter Sunday. And then a few weeks after that, we reopened. So that was our lowest attendance last year, 55 people. Our average attendance last year was 79. Now, another significant thing last year was that we had five Sundays last year that where we had 100 or more people. So we're kind of a church of more than 100 now at that point, once we start having multiple services where there's more than 100 people. So that brings us to this year. And here's where we are so far this year. Our highest attendance this year is 165 people. That was on Easter Sunday. Now, other Sundays where we had high attendance, the highest attendance we had before that was March 7th when Josh shared his story. And we had 145 people that came that Sunday. That was awesome. The second highest attendance we had was 163 people. That was actually on the 4th of July. That was our baptism service down here just a few weeks ago. 163 people on the 4th of July. That was pretty exciting. What's not so exciting is the Sunday right after that, we had our lowest attendance for the year. That was 66 people. A whole bunch of people just were gone that weekend. But I do want to note that our lowest attendance this year is higher than our average attendance 2 years ago. So that's an important thing to point out. Also, our average attendance this year is 103. So what that means is it took us 6 years as a church to get to 102 for a Christmas Eve service. Now we're averaging 103 on a typical Sunday. So that's very exciting to see how that growth is happening. Also this year, there have been 16 Sundays where we've had over 100 people coming to church here. So that's 57% of the Sundays that we've had so far this year. So that's very encouraging to share with you. Now, the reason I'm sharing numbers with you is because those numbers matter. And the reason they matter is because they represent people. Every one of you is included in those numbers, every single one of you here. Your family members and your friends who you've invited and they're coming now, they're included in those numbers. Those people that you're concerned for, that you're praying for, that you're inviting to church, one day when they come, they'll be included in those numbers too. So I want you to understand that I know pastors like to talk about numbers, especially when the numbers are good. The reason I'm talking about numbers isn't because, well, I want us to have this massive church with thousands. That's not the point. The point is those numbers mean we're changing lives. We're reaching people, and that's why we're here. We're here to reach people. And so for every one of us, we are represented in those numbers. They represent people whose lives have been changed by Christ and his presence and who come together to worship him and to honor him. And that's why we're here. So our saying from the very beginning has been this: we're a gathering of imperfect people seeking to know and encounter God. That's who we are. We are imperfect people. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you've done in the past or what you feel guilty for in the past. You are welcome here. Everyone is welcome here regardless. We are imperfect people, but we are also people who are seeking. We're seeking to know God, and that means to have a life-changing relationship with him, and we're seeking to encounter him. And what that means is that we experience him, we walk with him in our everyday lives. It's not just about coming here on Sundays. It's about what we're doing in our relationship with him throughout the week as well. That's who we want to be. And in order to do that well, for us to seek him, to know him, to encounter him, and to invite others into that, for us to do that well, we need each other. And that matters. So I want to share a couple of verses with you from Hebrews chapter 10. Here's what it says: let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Let me just pause there. Is that ever hard to do? To hold tightly to our hope without wavering? Sometimes that's challenging, right? Sometimes that's incredibly difficult. And that's why we need each other. That's why God hasn't called us just to be Christians who stay home and aren't connected with a family of believers. He's called us to be a part of a family because sometimes we need others to help us hold tightly to that hope, hold tightly to that faith, and not waver because life gets difficult and challenging. He goes on and he says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Again, acts of love and good works. Does that always come naturally to us? To show love to someone, especially if it's someone who's wounded you, someone who's been unloving to you, that's hard to do. To do good works, to choose the right thing when the wrong thing is the easiest thing to do, it's hard for us to do that. And again, that's why we need each other. Sometimes we need somebody to hold us accountable and to give us that loving push, that loving nudge to do the right thing when it's really hard and to show love when that is incredibly challenging. We need each other. And in the context of that, as he talks about encouraging each other to do the right thing, to show love, as he talks about holding tightly to our hope without wavering. He goes on then and says this, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." He says it's really important for us to meet together like we're doing right now, so we can encourage each other. And he says, especially since the day of his return is drawing near. Christ is coming back soon. And we look forward to that. But until that time, there's a lot of bad stuff that's going to happen. And we're seeing much of that right now. We are not called to go through that in isolation just as individuals. We are called to encourage one another to hold on to our faith and to press forward even when it's difficult and challenging in the world in which we live. That's one of the reasons we reopened as quickly as we did, because this matters a great deal to God and it needs to matter to us as well. So that's who we are as a church, and that's why we're here. Now, one of the things that we want to be known for as a church, one of the things that we want to characterize us as a church, is all of the things that you said earlier. And a part of that means praying for one another and supporting one another. I know we have several families in our church right now, especially if you're on the Facebook chat, you're aware of the needs. We have several families right now who are going through some very, very difficult times. And so what I want us to do before we move forward is we're just going to pause and we're going to pray together for those who need prayer today. So here's how we're going to do this. If you need prayer, we're just going to have you stand where you are, and then people are going to gather around, all the different people that are standing, people are just going to gather around and pray for you, and then we'll continue, okay? So if you're here today and you need prayer for something, just stand up right where you are. Don't be bashful. Just go ahead and stand up. Okay. All right, so what we're going to do, the rest of us, we are now the prayer team, okay? Are you guys okay with us placing our hands on you to pray for you? Okay, so we're going to gather around and pray for them, and we're going to trust God for a miracle, and let's gather together and show love to this family. It's been a while since we've done that. We need to start doing that more often, praying together like that, and that's really important. So this morning, Dan and Adam are both going to share some updates from their areas of ministry. And then after that, if we have time, I'm going to talk a little bit more about kind of where we're headed as a church. If you have questions, as any of us are sharing, in your handout, it'd be a good idea just write those down. We're not going to do a question and answer while we're sharing, because then that might take hours. But if you have questions, we want to just encourage you to write those down and then talk with us either afterwards or if we have time at the end of the service. That would be great. So Adam first is going to share some of where we are financially as a church. And if you're supporting this church financially, first of all, we want to say thank you. We really appreciate that. It means a lot to us. We also want you to know that we are accountable to you for how we are spending what God has provided us as a church. We want to make sure we're using that in a way that honors him and in a way that advances his kingdom and his purposes. It's also helpful for us to have a picture of what giving looks like, because that tells us something. If you give to this church, that tells us that you feel connected here and that you believe in what we're doing. And so we're very thankful for that. So our treasurer, Jeff Adams, he's going to share an update. You may not want to give after seeing that picture, knowing that that's who handles the finances, but actually he's his evil twin. So,
ironically, I almost wore that outfit. I did want to start with this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So the purpose of this report is not to try and convince you to give more. The church is actually doing very well financially, so I want that to come across first and foremost before we get into any of the numbers. That this is simply, like Dave said, just to be accountable to you guys and report back at how things are going. So I just want to put that out right away. So let's look at last year's numbers. So up top here you see our total giving was a little over $114,000. Expenses were a little over $109,000, so we were positive for the year. And then you also see down below there, that is our monthly giving beginning at the beginning of last year through June of this year. So you can see the trend has definitely been up. November was off the charts. We had a very large one-time donation. But outside of that, the trend has consistently been growing, which has been very helpful for us as elders and leadership to make decisions about where we are going with the church. And that's allowed us to do a lot of new things this year, which if you Fast forward there. So this year, so the budget last year was $111,000, and like you saw in that previous slide, our total giving exceeded that, and our expenses were just under that. For this year, we increased the budget to $160,000, which is a big jump, but you saw from those trends, we felt that as the church was growing, that we would easily be able to meet that need. And here's some of the other things that this has allowed us to do this year. We started funding our first missionary earlier this year. This is the first year that Dan is on staff all of the year. He came on officially midway last year, October. We've hired Jerry as an assistant pastor to join us, I guess, next week, officially. And then we've been able to provide some startup support for the coffee ministry and a lot of other programs as well. So where exactly is that $160,000 going? 45% of that does go to salaries. So Dave, Dan, Jackie, our secretary, and soon Jerry. 21% goes to ministry expenses. So that's the kids ministry, the youth ministry, missions, all that kind of stuff wrapped up into that. 11% goes into the building, so utilities and things like that. We are very fortunate that we have no debt on this building or no debt at all. So none of that is a mortgage payment. It's just the upkeep of the building and renovations and things like that. 14% general administrative stuff, and then the other 8% are miscellaneous. So where does all this money come from? I want to take a minute to make sure everybody was aware of all of the different ways you can give. So through the baskets that we pass around in the each service, you can throw in your loose cash or a check. You can use an envelope if you like. If you're giving with a check, you can certainly do that as well. I also wanted to mention on there, as you see, you can use the envelopes to designate special funds. You can write on here if you want to give to the coffee ministry or specifically to missions or anything like that. Just write on here, you know, whether you're using a check or cash, you know, $20 for missions or $50 for, you know, the benevolent fund or whatever it is. You can also give through our website. We've got several families that do that. You can do that as a one-time thing, or you can set it up to be weekly or monthly or however you would like to automate that. So that'll happen automatically for you. We also have a couple families that mail checks, so they show up in the mail. And then we've got a couple families that use their online banking, so it mails the check for them, so it comes in the mail. So that's all available. The other thing I wanted to point out, too, is when it comes to that loose cash, if you're one of the people that, you know, I don't worry about it being recorded, so I just throw, you know, a dollar in when the basket comes around, or $5 or $20, whatever the case may be, you then are actually part of the group, in essence, that is our largest giver. Our loose cash collected each week is larger than any one donor in this entire church, which is kind of unheard of for churches. So that's amazing. So don't feel like, well, all I ever do is, you know, I throw a 5 in the basket or a 20 or something like that. Don't think that doesn't matter. That adds up, and that's more than any one individual has given to the church this year. And last year, I think loose cash was our second highest giver. So that matters. So thank you for that. As we move forward, the elders are starting to look towards our 2022 budget. So here's a couple. You don't have the goals and challenges?
I don't.
There are no goals.
Okay. Then I'll just go through the list. Wonder what happened to that slide. A couple of things that we want to do.
The money ran out for the extra text.
So. One of the big challenges we have is now that Sheila has retired, Dave and Sheila will not have health insurance coming up in a few months. So we, as an elder and leadership board, have committed to, we're going to add that to basically Dave's compensation. So we are in the process of searching for the most economical way to make sure that they are covered. We feel very strongly it is our job as a church to take care of our pastor. So that's going to be a large expense that will be added to the budget for next year. We will be looking for increased mission opportunities. As our giving is increasing, we want to make sure that we're giving that back through whether it's an official, another missionary that might be overseas, or maybe even somebody domestically, or what, you know, if there's some other programs locally that we can support, we're going to be on the look for that. We have recently transitioned. I took over as treasurer in September of last year. It's been a bit of an adventure working with our accountant.
Just a bit.
Former,
yes. Basically, we finally, after several months longer than we should have, we basically fired them at the beginning, at the end of June, and transitioned to a new third-party accountant. And that was a journey. So I hope this has worked out and it's going to work long-term, but we're going to continue to kind of evaluate this new service and see. We use a third party just to make sure, again, the accountability. First of all, I am not an accountant by trade, so it's helpful to have them, but also to make sure all the books are balancing and everything is on the up and up. And then our final goal is we would like to build up the church savings account, just so we have, just like we, you know, personally should have savings for emergencies and stuff like that. We'd like to have about 3 months reserve in the church account so that if there's a major incident or something happens, we've got some money, because we are debt free. We want to keep it that way. And the way to do that is have a nice reserves just in case. So that's the treasure report.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You can clap for your dad if you want to. Go ahead. So Dan is going to share an update as far as youth ministry. Dan came on staff last year part-time, working directly with youth, junior and senior high, and then also providing leadership and oversight to the children's ministry. So he's going to share an update on how things are going with that.
Thank you. This is my unofficial slide because I did not make slides.
Ooh.
So I'm a leg up on Adam because I have Dave working for me. Couple updates as far as student ministry and kids ministry goes. This year was the first year that we started having youth group every week, every Wednesday, except for a really small stint when we had a little bit of COVID going on and a little bit of an outbreak from all that fun stuff. Other than that, we've been meeting every Wednesday during the school year, and then over the summer we've been meeting about every other week. Our numbers when we first started doing the youth ministry 2 years ago, our highest event was 12. Our lowest event this year was 11, and our highest event this year was 28. So praise God for that people are showing up, and apparently Captain America and free pizza is a way to get students to show up. Bailey, I hope, can say that we have fun for the most part. I'm not as mean as I used to be, so that makes it fun for everybody. But it's at DJ Ugo, and I guess Candace is what, worshiping at Bedside Baptist today?
No, she's working.
Oh, she's working. Okay.
Pastor Sheets.
Yeah, Pastor Sheets. So, that being said, it's been a really good year. We've had a lot of awesome progress. I would not have been able to do it without the team and the support of you guys. So, Devin and Savannah and Scott and Liz and Danielle and Mandy, they have all been a massive help, as well as all of your contributions to allowing me to have a budget, because usually that's not a word you hear in youth ministry, and Dave can attest to that.
Yep.
So because of that, we've had a really awesome turnout. We've been able to help students out, be able to go on events that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to go towards or go to, and just be able to have fun. This was our first year that we started with a kids curriculum, and Charlie attests that it's going well. We use the Gospel Project's kids curriculum. I really like it. I took a lot of time looking at it. If you have any questions about any of that, feel free to see me or Charlie or Tina. Who?
Heather
or Christy. And there are other people in second service as well that would be able to answer questions about what that curriculum looks like and how we kind of do things on Sundays. This fall, we'll be starting up our program for student ministry again. We're going to start off with a series called Florida Man, Ridiculous Stories That You Didn't Know Were in the Bible. So if you want to come listen to what it sounds like to have a bunch of ex-convicts in the Bible, you should come and check it out, because it'll be really awesome. We also are going to the beach this Saturday. I still have a couple seats available, so if you didn't get me your permission slip, come see me. I can, students, not adults, no adults are welcome. Come see me, we can probably work something out for you to be able to go. That is pretty much all I have from a student ministry update. Do you have another slide for the next thing I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. One of the other things that we as a leadership team have been working on is making sure that we take care of our pastor and his family well, and making sure that they get the rest they need, that they are taken care of. And we as a leadership team have decided that next year Dave will be taking a sabbatical for a few weeks to take some time to rest, take some time to take some classes, spend time with Sheila, spend time listening to God and see what the direction of the church will look like. That being said, Dave's not fired. Adam and I aren't taking over forever. Yet. Yeah.
It's a coup.
Yeah, it's a coup. This is where we should release everyone to storm the sanctuary. But that being said, during that time, if there's anyone who's looking to get married at that time, not going to happen from Dave. If there's anyone looking to have a funeral at that time, not going to happen from Dave. This is going to be a time... Yeah, don't look for a funeral. I should have, like, not worded it that way. But make sure this is a time that this Dave and Sheila will be unreachable so that they can have time to focus on moving this ministry forward. During that time, Adam, myself, and Jerry will be overseeing the sermons from week to week, so pray for yourselves because that's going to be an interesting ride. And it should be a good time for Dave to get the rest that he needs to be able to have the energy moving forward. As he said before, he started this ministry working a full-time job, a part-time job, and ministry is never not a full-time job, even if it's said that it's part-time. You came on staff full-time, what, 2 years ago?
Two and a half, three years ago.
So now that we are at a point financially as a church that we are able to support him and Sheila to be able to have some respite and have a time where they can focus on what God is calling us to in this next season of life, we want to make sure we're taking time to honor them that way. So that is all I have update-wise for students and kids ministry and the upcoming sabbatical that Dave will be taking next year. We'll have more information as we as a leadership team work on that. We're still trying to iron out some of those details. Anything I need to add?
I think we're good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not because Dave is burnt out now.
Oh, right. Thank you.
We want to prevent him from burning out. We want him to be able to continue leading well and making sure that our church is healthy, and it's better to make sure he stays healthy than fix him when he's unhealthy.
There we go.
So.
Good. All right. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Yeah, you can clap for Dan, too, I guess. All right, there's a couple things I'm going to skip through just in the interest of time. Just want to talk about added staff this past year. So as we said, Dan is part-time our student ministries director. Jackie Schultz, if you don't know her, I wanted to put her picture up there, even though she didn't want me to. When I texted her and said, I need a picture of you to show the congregation, she's like, are you serious? I quit. So that's the picture. So that's Jackie. She's the one that doesn't have a hat and a beard, just so you know. So that's Jackie. She is our church secretary slash office administrator. I couldn't do what I do without her. She does all the handouts and stuff like that. She oversees the cleaning, the greeting and snack. She's the one that calls or texts you to remind you, hey, you're signed up for greeting and snack this weekend. She does a lot of stuff around here behind the scenes that is a huge help to us as a church. So if you have things that need to be announced and those kind of things that need to be put in the handouts for the weekend, that kind of stuff, please let Jackie know. She's the one who oversees all that. So as far as I'm going to come to another adding staff, but first of all, I just want to talk about two things on here on this screen. As you know, we added a second service last year when we went to drive-in services. We didn't have enough room for just one service, so we had to add a second, which we had been talking about for a while. We kept that in place when we reopened. And we also added Facebook Live, so we live streamed the second service, for those of you that don't know that. And I want to encourage you to make use of that when you're not able to be here. I also want to urge you, don't use that as a substitute for being here. It can't replace being here. It can supplement that if you're gone on vacation or if you're homesick or whatever. But I just want to encourage you, that's not there for you to stay home and skip church. That's there in case you miss church for some other reason. Also, the Thursday Bible study that Robert is leading, that's on Facebook Live now also. So if you come to the Thursday Bible study and you miss one, you can catch up on Facebook Live as well. Typically, in a week, our reach on Facebook Live is 100 to 200 people. So that expands our reach like pretty significantly. There was one Sunday last year, this blew my mind when I saw it after. I was like, are you kidding? We had 1,700 people reached on that one Sunday. So for about 1 hour, it's during one of our drive-in services. So for about 1 hour last summer, we were a mega church and we didn't even realize it. So the next week it was back down to, you know, like 100 or 200, but that was pretty exciting. So also just want to point out the website is, there's a ton of information on the website. The podcasts are up there every week. Usually I get them up by Monday or Tuesday. So again, if you miss a Sunday and you don't want to look at us, but you just want to listen, that podcast is up there. Also, there's you can do online giving, as Adam mentioned. There's tons of information about who we are, what we believe, why we're here, all those kind of things. So if you're inviting somebody to church and telling them about the church and they have questions you don't know the answers to, go to the website with them, and that'll help to answer some of those questions as well. Now, in terms of staff, my dad, Jerry Hunter, he's going to be coming on staff. They're getting here on Thursday, and he'll be officially here on staff part-time as of next Sunday. He brings with him 60 years of pastoral ministry experience. So with him being here, we're going to be able to place more focus on ministry to seniors. We're going to be able to do more. You can clap for that. That's good. Yeah, absolutely. I don't mean high school seniors. I mean seniors, more mature adults. We'll put it that way.
And look, so one of the seniors
clap for that. That's good. So that's exciting. We're looking forward to that. He's also going to be doing some leadership training. He's going to be preaching from time to time. We're going to be able to expand our elder base, our leadership base here as a church, and that's important as we continue to grow for us to do that. So some additional things that we're working towards as a church, we're in the beginning stages of starting to plan out a college-age ministry for college/young adults. What typically happens is when children come to church, they learn the Bible verses, and we have a lot of fun and crafts and activities for them. When they get into high school and junior high, they come and they learn how to put those Bible verses into practice, how to live them out at a challenging time in their lives. And then we ship them off to college or into the workplace. And when they come back from college, there's really nothing for them. And so there's an epidemic of young adults kind of slipping through the cracks. And then they come back to church eventually when they have kids of their own. We want to avoid all that. So we want to make sure that we're investing in their lives. So we're beginning to plan out kind of what do we want this to look like? Where are we headed? What are the goals? And so on. So you're going to be hearing more about that in the coming months. I've talked about this before. We're still praying for the day when we'll have a full-blown recovery ministry. Jesus said that he came to set captives free. And we want to have a ministry geared towards bringing hope and freedom for those who are struggling with habits and addictions, that they will come here and be able to be part of a group that's going to help them to experience life change in those areas. That's something God has called us to do as a church. We're praying and about discerning the timing of how that is all supposed to happen. We also want to have a grief support ministry for people who have gone through tragic losses, a place where they can come and find healing for those wounds that have been inflicted on them and find hope and support. That is a very important ministry. And again, we're praying for discerning the timing of all of that. Some additional ministries. I've talked about this before. We talked about the ministry teams, and last year we passed around a couple of clipboards for these three ministry teams, and a bunch of people signed up, and then COVID happened. So it didn't really work out. And the other thing that we did wrong, or that I did wrong, was passing out clipboards asking people to sign up for teams that didn't have leaders yet. So let me just talk briefly about what this is all about. First of all, outreach team. We do a lot of outreach in our community. We do ice cream giveaways. We give out bottles of water on the trail. We give out bottles of water on Memorial Day to veterans. We do backpack giveaways before school. We do the Christmas service projects and free gift wrapping. We do the Halloween thing. There's a lot of stuff we do just to show God's love in tangible ways to our community. That's very important to us. Most of that honestly falls on Sheila's shoulders or my shoulders. And so we would love to have a team in place that organizes that and make sure that all of that gets taken care of. So that's what the outreach team is all about. The next one is the special events team. We like to have fun together as a church family. So we've done things like we had a disco dance a couple of years ago down in the warehouse. That was a blast. We've done, we did a sock hop dance a couple of years before that. We did the ice cream social just this past week on Friday night. That was a great time. We've had game nights, movie nights, just all kind of fun stuff just to get together and enjoy having fun together. So again, we would like to have a team in place to plan all of that out, to make sure those things happen, and to plan all the details for those kind of things, just as a way of us being together as family. And then the third one is the compassion team. And this is a team to help out, to kind of make sure we're providing hands-on immediate support and care for families that are going through challenging times. So again, this past week, we had a couple of families that were going through difficult times, and it came to Sheila to kind of organize meals and those kind of things. We want to make sure we have a team in place to take care of those kind of things, to be ready to kind of jump in and help out and provide support for families that need immediate assistance here in our church family. So the main thing we need for those, I'm not going to pass clipboards around. The main thing we need for those is leaders to organize and oversee those teams. Once we have leaders in place, then we'll start getting volunteers to be a part of those teams. So I think we have a leader for the special events team. We're talking about that right now. But if you feel called to lead one of these teams, if you have leadership skills and you feel passionate about one of these ministries, please come and talk with me and let me know, and we'll be able to develop that conversation further. Last thing I want to talk about, and then we're going to share communion together. In 2016, December of 2016, God gave us this building. And that was a miraculous thing. We were a church of 3 years old at the time, about 35 people, less than $20,000 in the bank. When this building went on the market in 2010, it was a $500,000 building. God gave us this building. And when I say he gave us this building, what I mean is what Adam mentioned earlier. We don't have a mortgage. We don't owe anything. This building is 100% our building. God provided in a miraculous way. And we're very thankful because this building provides opportunities for ministry for us that we did not have when we were meeting up in the fire hall. Now, having said that, there are two challenges we're facing with this building, and we're fully want you to know that we're aware of those. The first one is parking. Right now, the American Legion is waiting till noon to open, and that's a huge help to us, so we're able to use their parking lot on Sunday mornings. We hope that will continue, but we don't know. If the day comes that they start opening earlier than noon on Sundays, that's going to create a pretty significant problem for us. So we don't have answers for that right now. So if you have insight or answers or ideas of, hey, what if we did this, please let me know. We would love to hear any ideas that you might have on that issue. The second challenge we have, and I'm realizing this more as a 52-year-old man now, is coming up those stairs every day. I know that that's a challenge right now for several of you, and for all of us, eventually it's going to be a challenge. So we've looked at some different options in the past. We talked about putting an elevator right on that side of the building. The problem is that's about an $80,000 project. We'd also talked about what if we put a chair lift in on the stairs, you know, the chair lift that kind of slides up. The problem with that, because of all the twists and turns there, and it would have to be a commercial grade chair lift, that's about $30,000. So we don't know what the answers are to that right now. And again, we're praying for wisdom on that. If you have ideas or suggestions, please come and let us know. We would love to hear that from you. So having said all that, I really do believe that the day will come when we will have a different location. Gary Krentz, every time he comes back to town, he says, you do realize this is just the administrative building, right? This is not the permanent sanctuary. And I do believe at some point we're going to be relocating. And when we do, it's going to be here in Bainbridge. I want you to know that. We're not leaving Bainbridge. It's going to be right here in Bainbridge. And it also is going to be something that God provides. God provided this building. He has been faithful to us, and God's going to provide again. We don't know when, and we don't know where. We're just praying for wisdom and discernment on that. This building was very clear that this was where we were going to call home several years ago when we were praying about all this. We don't know yet where our next location is going to be, but we're praying that through as well and trusting that God is going to provide. So having said all that, we're not going to do Q&A because we are almost out of time and I don't want to rush communion. We want to take a few moments this morning just to celebrate God's goodness to us. And the most well-known verse in Scripture, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to this earth to sacrifice himself on our behalf, to take upon himself the penalty for our sins that we deserved so we wouldn't have to. And because he did that, and because he rose from the dead, he offers us new life and forgiveness and the hope of eternity with him in heaven. It is a gift he offers us. And our part is simply receiving that gift. And so today, when we celebrate communion, we're celebrating the sacrifice Jesus made to make that possible for us. The night before Jesus was crucified, he gathered with his disciples and he took the bread in his hands, a very common part of the meal, and he broke it. And he said, "This represents my body, which is going to be sacrificed and broken for you." And he took the cup and he said, "This represents my blood, which will be shed so that your sins, no matter how many and no matter how serious they are, every one of them can be forgiven." And so when we hold that bread and we hold that cup in our hands, these are physical reminders to us of the sacrifice made by the God who created us. Because he loves us so much, he wants us to spend eternity with him. So we're going to give thanks to him for that this morning. So there's going to be a song that's playing kind of in the background. And I just want to encourage you at some point in the song when you feel ready, just get up and back there on the information center. And over here, there's a table by the side. Take the bread, take the cup, and return to your seat. And then once the song is over, we will eat and drink together with thanksgiving for Christ's sacrifice for us.